This is Annuity Straight Talk. Since 2008, your host, Brian Anderson, has helped clients nationwide navigate the complex market for annuities. With Brian's assistance, hundreds of clients have achieved a profitable and secure retirement. I would know, because Brian has answered many of my questions concerning annuities and retirement planning. So that you can benefit as well, let's get started. Here's Brian.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Annuity Straight Talk podcast, episode number 44. Going back to story time today, just because I felt it appropriate with summer coming. I'm really excited about this one, episode 44, How Mules Are Like Annuities. So people that know me know that I like to ride horses, pack mules, ride mules, pack horses, all those types of things. And I think mules are like annuities because they suit a purpose. They do things that a horse cannot do. They are highly intelligent, incredible creatures, and I absolutely love mules. But I also love horses, and there's certain things a horse can do that a mule cannot. It's an analogy that I think suits retirement planning again, and these are all the things that tie together in my life and one of the reasons why I do what I do, because when I make a recommendation or I pursued a career path, it has to make sense to me. I'm a bit of a free spirit in the sense that I like personal freedom, very libertarian. You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. You need my help, I'm happy to give it if you ask nicely, all those things. And feel like when you give something, you do it for the right reasons. Don't expect to get anything back, but if you do it for the right reasons, you will receive that. It's like karma. I believe if you do good things, then good things happen. If you do bad things happen. So a lot of these things intertwine, and the reason why I bring this up, again, is it tells a story about me so people can get to know me, but then it also, like, I try to use analogies and stories to help people understand a topic, and this is, I don't care what your profession is, whether you are a doctor, an engineer, or a computer scientist, or whatever it was, whatever you were, you often had to explain a complicated matter to a layperson, right? So, and when people think annuities are complicated, I like to draw, tell stories and draw parallels and show similarities to a real world example. And that's kind of, this is one of my attempts to do that, is to say, hey, it's not complicated. You have to think about the base factors and the real reasons why you want it. And so, and in the last couple of weeks, I've had a few people make appointments with me and they say, oh, I hate annuities, or I never liked annuities, or, and I like to ask, well, why do you hate them? Because they may have a good reason. And a lot of it comes down to, it's either fees or trust, everybody, because the ads about annuity fees, and I've covered that so much, and I'm probably going to have to keep doing it. So I apologize to the regular listeners. We'll have to talk about fees more and more over time. I'll try to space it out with content that's not so redundant. But so fees are a concern. Obviously, we can do it without fees. And I've talked about that a billion times. So, you know, one example of someone who hates annuities because they inherited a bunch of money or a bunch of annuities from their dad. And they called me because they said, well, we're looking at these things and something doesn't sound right. And the dad passed away when he was in his mid-80s. And they said, well, he had like 9 annuities, but he had owned 40 some annuities over the years. And in looking at it, long story short, this podcast is not about that story, but we looked at it and it turned out that the agent was selling him an annuity and surrendering it to sell him another annuity a couple years later. So he had paid an astronomical, it wasn't a small amount of money. I think it was north of $2 million. And he had lost money with annuities because he had a scumbag agent. And literally, and I'm not kidding, I punched that guy in the face if I could find him, if I knew who he was. That's not the right way to do business. And it's not, the annuity was not the fault of that, or it was not the reason why that guy didn't like him, but it was a scumbag scam artist that screwed over his dad. Of course he wouldn't like annuities because the experience was like several hundred thousand dollars in surrender charges. went directly into this guy's pocket. He was only thinking about himself. Anyway, so I understand there's some legitimate reasons to be very skeptical, but the purpose of annuities is to improve your life and to create safety. So again, we're not going to talk about that too much. I'm going to tell you this story. And those who are here, I think I put this out on a newsletter 2 years ago. And because summer's coming, I'm just kind of, my mind's going toward, hey, find an adventure, go do something fun, spend your weekends doing something great. You guys know, I've told you before, I got some hunting permits that are once in a lifetime opportunities. I'm really looking forward to enjoying the outdoors this summer, but I still will be around, so I'm not checking out by any means. September is going to be tough. Anybody that needs something in September, we'll talk about it when we get there. But we've got 3 solid months before that happens. So I am going to share my screen and we're going to talk about it. And as you can see, how mules are like annuities, you can look in the background and that's my other screen and you can see, let me just show you right here because it's on my main screen. So that's me and my favorite living creature in the world is my mule, Jitterbug. She is so sweet and so nice. She's a little bit nervous and skeptical, but she's not mean at all. She just will not trust right away. So we'll talk about that a little bit because I didn't have her since she was a baby. But I wrote this newsletter 2 years ago after this was during the COVID lockdowns. I scored a backcountry permit for Yellowstone National Park, which was awesome. It's something I've wanted to do for a long time. And it was just one of those things where I got to take the trip when the world was going to hell in a handbasket. Everybody stuck. People in New York City were stuck in apartments for 6 months. Holy cow. Like, I'm a blessed individual. I was grateful to do it. And I remember when the lockdown started in March, we didn't know if Yellowstone, if the park was going to be open. Now, a lot of you have been to Yellowstone. Many others want to go. And you realize that anybody who's been there realizes how many people are there. But we did this trip where, you know, we had to drive through the park. And of course, we saw a lot of people. And then we spent 5 days in the backcountry and we saw 4 people. So how often do you get to spend 5 days in Yellowstone and only see 4 people? It was incredible. And I came home and I really wanted to tell the story because I just thought it was really interesting and say, hey, I took a break. You should take a break. And again, get people to dream and imagine what you can do in retirement and enjoy yourself. I did leisure in retirement, talked about a fishing trip a while ago. And it was hard to find heavy topics because there's a lot of stuff going on right now. And I thought, you know what? Summertime's coming. I'm thinking about this. I'm just going to put this into a podcast. And it's an introduction for anybody who was not around 2 years ago when this came out as the newsletter. So you can see it here. You can just search, go to the newsletter, type in mule in the search bar. You'll find this article. It's simple and easy. And I start it steady, reliable, strong, intelligent, tough is a good start. Anyone who uses the first word stubborn to describe a mule needs to look in the mirror. Between mules and annuities, the only people that don't like them are the ones who don't understand them. So in that, and I have this idea, and a lot of people, like, if you're not from the West, you understand, you kind of have these images in your mind of like breaking a horse, like what the cowboys used to do and all that stuff, right? And so I pull up these photos. I looked at this real quick and I said, in breaking a horse, you have guys like, you got a rope on the front, a rope on the back, you got a whip going, the horse is bucking, freaking out, going crazy. And at some point that horse is going to give up. And that's what breaking a horse is. Now, the more intelligent trainers will say starting a horse, they think breaking has a bad connotation to it. And I totally agree. If you look over on the sidebar, it's like getting these horses to buck and you basically work the buck out of them, right? And they scare the crap out of them to a point where the horse gets so scared, they know nothing else but to sit in one spot and just do whatever they're told because they're afraid that the whip's going to come out or they're going to get smacked, whatever's going to happen, right? You can do that with a horse, but if you do that to a mule, you might get it to be calm, but that will be a dangerous mule. That mule might do what you want it to do, but it might strike at something that it's not sure of. It's going to be scared. It's going to be on edge. A mule is far more intelligent. So a horse will forget. A mule will not. Now, for anybody who doesn't know, a mule's mom is a horse. So it's a male donkey and a female horse. And so they get the intelligence of the donkey. And again, donkeys being, oh, they're stubborn. Well, no, you just don't know how to deal with them. So when you train a mule, you have to be more methodical. You have to be nicer because they will never, ever forget. Now, if you walk up to a mule and you see that mule and all of a sudden, and that mule like either bites at you, strikes at you, or just takes off, whatever. Now, there's two possibilities. Either that mule was, both of them include abuse. It was either just abused and beaten into submission and it doesn't trust anyone, or you look like the person who actually did it to that mule and they think. So I have a jitterbug, as sweet and nice as she is. When the farrier comes to trim her feet, he has to take his chaps off. If he walks up to her with chaps on, she freaks out. Now, she doesn't strike because she's not mean, but the chaps, the leather chaps that he has, remind her of something. Now, I got her when she was 5 years old and she was very, very skittish. They remind her of something that was a bad thing that happened to her when she was a baby. And nobody can go up to her. So I can't wear chaps if I ride her. And I love to ride her. She's my favorite one. Okay. But that's just an indication of what happens. Now, a horse, kind of forget about it. I always say, like, horses are kind of dumb and mules are really smart and they will not forget. And so, but if you get a nice, kind mule, which we have, I've got all of them nice and kind, they'll all come right up to you and you can say, okay, well, that mule was treated well and done. So you got to be, when you train him, you got to be more methodical. You got to be assertive, but kind. And that will, you know, lead to great things, but it's not the same as breaking a horse. If you go on a dude ride out in the West, you know, Wyoming, Montana, wherever, and you get one of those dude horses that just puts its head down, you know, right in the back end of the horse in front of it and just walks along. Two things. That horse is either really old and tired, or it was beaten down to a point where it has no personality anymore. And sadly, that is the case in a lot of situations. So how mules are like annuities. And that's, I don't know. I guess I don't have to say it every time, but this whole thing intertwines in it. So I've got, like a lot of people know, I've got a friend of mine who writes, he's a journalist. He writes the Retirement Income Journal. And I've known him for probably 12 years, maybe. And I guess it was 2017. We talked about, hey, come to Montana. And he finally said it was February. He's booking a ticket and he was coming out. And so I thought, hey, I'm going to take him onto the pack trip. So I took him into the Bob Marshall Wilderness, but he had never been on a horse or anything. Okay. He didn't have any experience whatsoever. So I put him on a mule and then he just sat there and the mule plodded along. Now, what's really cool about mules and in rough country on the trail. Now I learned this from an old man who ran a trail riding business outside of Glacier Park. And he said, when he gets somebody really nervous about the trail ride, he gets one of his good old solid mules and puts that person on the mule. And that person will never ride anything else for the rest of their life. And I know several guys who only ride mules because of that. But I did that for my wife on her first trip. I said, she didn't know what she was doing. I'm going to put her on a mule. Years later, I bought her a horse and she loves that horse. And she did really well with the horse, is well-trained. It's a great horse. And she said, you know, I love this horse and this is more fun, but I felt a whole lot safer when I was on a mule. So horses are incredible, but they are kind of unpredictable. My horse is a good, solid, steady mountain horse. He's dog gentle. He's a wonderful animal, but a butterfly comes across the trail and he'll freak out, right? A stick is laying in the middle of the trail. He stops and huffs and can't figure out what's going to go on. Like the stick's going to attack him or the butterfly's going to get him. Who the heck knows why? But when he does that stuff, the mules are coming behind us and they just kind of sit there and they wait. And as soon as he realizes he can take a step forward, they're sitting there waiting and they might eat a little grass. And he decides he can walk and he always takes it like of the stick that he's scared of or the butterfly when he's passing it. He'll always kind of jump when we get past it. And so you got to be kind of ready when you're riding him. And he's a little nervous, but the mules are just kind of like, hey, whatever. They will identify a threat. So it's just interesting how patient and intelligent they are in situations like that. They'll know what a real threat is. So we went to Yellowstone and this is like one of my favorite, and you see this, and I think it's interesting. In the movies, cowboys ride horses and mules pull the wagon. While cowboys are out roping and shooting, doing all the cool stuff, right? Mules are just bringing along dinner and the camp and everything. It's like everybody, like the TV show Yellowstone, a lot of people call and say, oh, I love that show Yellowstone. And it was, most of it was filmed about 20 miles south of my dad's place down in the Bitterroot Valley. It's not even filmed in Yellowstone, but it looks a lot like it. Montana is beautiful wherever you go. But it's funny, they went to, I think in the season two, they went to summer camp where old John Dutt, Kevin Costner took his grandson out and they went in wall tents and they on the ranch next to the river and they went fishing and hanging out for a couple of weeks. But that was the first time where, you know, you saw, I think it was Lloyd, like the old cowboy. He was taking the wagon and they had, sure enough, had two mules pulling the wagon, right? Because that's what they need to survive out there, and the mules bring it along. So anyhow, so I tell the story a little bit about that trip as well. And I'll kind of, I guess I'll touch on parts of it. But when I went on that trip, the biggest thing was that my wife was really nervous about her kids. So they're my stepdaughters and they had ridden the mules before, but then going on an extended trip and covering a lot of territory, she was really nervous. And I knew my mules were in a good spot. I said, listen, they're going to sit on the back of mules. And I told them, I said, you guys take the pictures. And they were happy. Their phones didn't work, but I'm like, you can keep your phones, but you have to take all the pictures. So what I got from it was I got 90% selfies. I was like, no, you're supposed to take pictures of like me and your mom and the lake and the streams we cross and those things. And it was kind of funny, but like I knew that it would be okay. And I knew the kids would be safe. So what's interesting, like on the trail with the mules, a mule is different. Their eyes are set a little wider on their head than a horse is. So at any given time, they can see all 4 feet. So they're very sure-footed. They know exactly. If a mule kicks at you and doesn't hit you, it means it was a warning. If they mean to hit you, they will. They're deadly accurate. And you have to understand that. So if a mule kicks and misses you, you know, and my mules do that, dinking around. They'll kick at me, but they've never kicked me. They've never hit me. That means they don't try to hit me. If they try, they're going to succeed. They're deadly accurate with it, but they can see all 4 feet at any given time. So when you're riding down the trail, and I'm in the front on a horse and I got the mules are packed up, and I look back to make sure the loads are riding right. And out of curiosity, I just kind of like watch them hit the trail, and they are able to pinpoint a lot of times, like a mule's hoof is tougher than a horse's. And so in a lot of cases, they don't need to wear shoes, even on really rocky ground, unless you're taking them like hundreds and hundreds of miles, they'll still wear down a little bit. But it's funny, they protect themselves, right? And the saying is like, you can spur a horse off a cliff, but a mule will not hurt itself. And that's why a lot of people think donkeys are the same. They think stubborn, and people say stubborn. Well, the mule, you have not done enough to assure the mule that it will not get hurt. So I have times when a mule is going to stop on the trail and stop and will not move. What does that mean? It means there's a danger they sense that you got to figure out. And so I'm grateful for that, because there are a lot of times where it's been a bear or a moose. A moose is worse than a bear, honestly. And there's something I don't see. Their ears are incredible. Their eyes are incredible. And they see it or sense it. And they've just got to stop and figure it out. If they figure it out and start moving, I realize there's nothing there. But it's just amazing how certain they are and how they provide that steady, safe element to any of those trips. So I'm always like, the mules make me feel more secure because I know they're coming with me no matter what. Now, a mule's mom is a horse again. Like I said, they will follow the horse anywhere and they will not leave that horse. So nighttime, we're in these big giant meadows in Yellowstone, gorgeous stuff. And you just turn the mules loose. And the horses would be on a long rope kind of staked out, and the horses can move around in a little circle and eat grass and all that stuff. But the mules will roam around and they will not leave the horses, which is pretty incredible, because then it's a lot less work for us. It's more enjoyable. We get to just sit there, have a cup of coffee in the morning and watch the animals play out in the pasture. It's awesome. And that also, you know, people get scared. Oh, grizzly, were you worried about grizzlies? No, I'm not, because I've seen mules tree a bear. They have, you know, my big mule, we had wolves in camp in the Teton Wilderness a few times, and my mules went after and ran those wolves off. They do the same with a bear. I would put a 1500 pound mule up against the 600 pound grizzly any day. I have no concern whatsoever. I sleep like a baby, and those mules are out there happy, roaming around, eating grass, rolling in the dirt. They love it. So that's one thing. Again, we're talking safety, security, peace of mind. Right? You get a good mule trained up. There's nothing better if that's the stuff you like to do. So, and another, like, it was a really cool trip for a lot of reasons. And I think back to my first pack trip 20 years ago, I remember the coolest thing. I used to hike a lot when I was a kid. Growing up, we'd hike into mountain lakes and go fishing. I did that with my dad and my brothers. And I had a great childhood doing adventurous stuff. But when I first sat on a mule and rode into the mountains, I was sitting there, I was drinking a cup of coffee, taking pictures. I'm looking around the whole time. And it was different for me because I'd hiked a bunch. But when you're hiking, if you want to stop and look at something, you got to stop walking. You want to take a picture, you got to stop walking. Because when you're hiking, you got to keep your eyes on where you're putting your feet. And the mules do that for you because they're watching the trail and they're doing, picking their spots and staying steady. Amazing, amazing animals. So it's incredible. You just get to, you take in so much more of the landscape. So mules are just like annuities because they're steady and reliable when everything else is unpredictable. So you think about wilderness experiences, you got moose, you got in Yellowstone, we had a bunch of bison bulls. We're in a meadow one time we passed. And I was kind of nervous about it, but the mules didn't bat an eye. And I think they've got some sort of, the animals have some sort of communication with each other. And they both said, hey, we're not going to bug you. You're not going to bug me. We're all good. We move through, right? But you have so many things. I remember Carrie Pector on that trip. We were driving home and we had two trucks. My business partner at the time had his truck and a trailer. And he noticed a rattle. He had a transmission issue with his truck. And, you know, it was kind of one of those things like, oh, no, we got to deal with this. I mean, the trip went great. And Carrie said to me, we were pulling out of this little dive bar on a highway in Montana where we stopped to have burgers on the way home. And Carrie said, you do a lot of stuff where things can go really wrong. Like, this is dangerous. And I thought, I don't know any other way because that's all I've ever done. And it's not, I like to push things. I like to adventure. My career is doing things differently than everybody else has ever done them. That's why my clients can attest to that. Hey, this is different than anything I've ever seen in my life. It works out. It's fine. The worst case scenario is just fine. And I like it, especially this day and age right now, times as they are. It's great to be an annuity guy. We had great products, great rates. Everything's coming back. And retirees should be jumping at the chance right now. So the last part of this story I'll tell you is like, the first time I got mules, I remember I might get a little choked up about this story. I'll try not to. A friend of mine said, hey, there's a guy in Washington that has these five mules. He's had them all their lives and they're great. And they were anywhere from 12 to 18 years old. And he said, it's a made string. He's selling all of them because he can't, he's got a back problem or something. He can't use them anymore. And he just wants, they're not expensive. And they were a really, really good deal. He said, I don't have the money for it, but if you want to go in with me, we'll split it. So yeah, we did. We bought five mules. I was like, hell, I mean, the price is so good. I just cut him a check. He said, I'm going to go pick them up. So I wrote him a check and he went to pick them up. And then we rode those guys. And I thought, man, they were all really, really good. And so my grandpa, who I guess I could tell stories about that at some point, like really, really pivotal figure in my life, just a wonderful, modest guy. He's not wealthy. He wasn't rich. He was just well-liked. And he was everybody's favorite person in the family. He's telling those old jokes. I should do a podcast just telling my grandpa's jokes. But anyway, when I got those mules, he was 83, 84 years old. And I used them enough. And I thought, man, these are really good. And I was probably the closest one to him because I spent a lot of time with him being geographically closest to him. And he said, one of the reasons we went, you know, hiking and fishing a lot is because that's how my dad grew up. So my grandpa took my dad fishing and they were really outdoorsy. My grandpa was a big time elk hunter. And that's kind of where I got the bug for that, probably from him, but it's in my bloodlines. My great grandfather was a bounty hunter in Northern Utah. It's a really cool story. A bounty hunter, not chasing people down, but he was one of the guys that was charged with exterminating grizzlies and wolves back in the early 20th century. The stories my grandpa had about the things he did with my great grandpa are unbelievable. And I know that's exactly where my adventurous bone came from. But anyway, my grandpa was getting older and he was, you know, I was hunched over and he was a lot weaker. Now, my grandpa was like probably the strongest guy I ever knew. I mean, he just had his forearms and his hands were big because he'd been working farms and ranches all his life. And my grandpa said, you know, I'd love to go into the mountains one more time, catch a fish and eat my fill of trout that cooked over a campfire. Just one more time, I want to do that. And so I told my uncle, my dad, my aunt, it's like, hey, I got these mules. We could take them on a camping trip. You can't really do anything. And I should have pulled up the picture of that. I forgot. Anyway, and I said, the plan was to hire a helicopter. Like, you guys fly in a helicopter. I'll pack a camp and we can keep him there for a couple of nights. And they all said, oh, no. He doesn't need to do that. No, he doesn't need to. And you got an old guy sitting in a chair. He's feeding cows every day and he has nothing left. He's a thinking back about his life. And he was very self-deprecating. And I remember, like I always said, I said, he's already got the hole dug. He just wants someone to push him in. Right. He sat around talking about dying for a while. And I'm like, man, I better get on this because he's got to go do it. So nobody would help me with it. And I thought, all right, the only chance I have is to get this old man on a mule. And so I took him. And I remember when we bought these mules, they all had a personality. Okay. And the guy that we bought them from explained each one of them in detail. Well, this mule, Sarah, absolute nicest animal I've ever met in my life. She was just amazing. And he said, hey, the deal with Sarah is she's gentle, gentle as can be. And when we go on a week-long pack trip into the mountains, Sarah carries the eggs. And so that's how steady she is. If you try to take eggs into the backcountry, you often get broke. They bounce around a lot, but you want a really, really steady animal. So I get an idea like, hey, I'm going to take Grandpa. I think I could put him on this mule and take him into the woods. And so we did. We did a day trip. And I remember I said, hey, Grandpa, we're going to do this. And I told him the story and I said, hey, Grandpa, today you are the eggs. And it was awesome because he sat on that mule. It was hell to get him up and off that thing. Just a really funny story, but a different story altogether. Anyway, but yeah, you're the eggs today, Grandpa. I told him it was so hard to get him in and out. It's like he's cramping up and he's tight and feeble and all this stuff. And my brother and I got him up there. And I said, hey, I said, Grandpa, everybody that I talked to thought that you were going to get bucked off of the mule today. And they were worried about you because you're 85 years old. And I said, after seeing how hard it was to get you up and down on and off that mule, there ain't a rank horse or mule in the world that could get rid of you. He should have gone into bronc riding and rodeoed and made his fortune 85 years old. There's no way he's coming out of that saddle. Anyway, it's funny, but that... You know, back to the trip in Yellowstone, it was no different with the kids. Put them on a mule. Don't worry about bears. Don't worry about anything. Let them have fun. Let them not worry about it. And it was, you know, and you think about the time we are in the world. We were then, we are now, where there's so much uncertainty. Right now, we got a war in Ukraine. They're talking about food shortages, all this stuff, like the supply chain screwed up. There's so many risk factors out there. And to go back and to enjoy, get back into a peaceful place and be away from people and see a beautiful part of this country, it's amazing at a time like this. So if that doesn't share similarities with a desirable retirement, I'm not sure what else I can tell you. So mules are just like annuities, safety, security, when everything else is unpredictable. That's what you want in retirement. It deserves a fair shot. I know some people that have one. I know some people that have a dozen. It's not anything crazy. If you hate them, tell me why. You may be right, but you may just not know all there is to know, and that's fine. Give them a shot. It's worthwhile. I'm not recommending everybody goes out and buy a mule because that's a different responsibility altogether. So anyway, these are kind of small. I couldn't figure out how to blow them up, but some of the meadows we were looking at, wife and the girls happy. We got to camp and they were having a good time. We fished on Yellowstone Lake there, which was amazing. Caught some really nice Yellowstone cutthroat trout. That was kind of another indicator of where I was fishing maybe a few weeks ago when I wrote that newsletter to the podcast. And then here's just some pictures. Riding along Yellowstone Lake was incredible. It was like driving Highway 1 in California, like on the coast, because it's big. It's a giant lake anyway. And then on the last part of the trip, you know, Lily, the oldest stepdaughter, she kind of wanted to ride in front. She was on Jitterbug and I know Jitterbug will go. And I said, okay, well now, and Jitterbug knows exactly where we're going. She's like, hey, we stayed here 2 nights ago. I know that the truck is only 7 miles away. I'm going. And so we put her in front and I let the girls ride in front and Jitterbug took care of her. Didn't worry about it a bit. We crossed creeks. We ran into a bear on the way out. And of course it's Yellowstone. So as we got closer to the trail, all the people that were driving the roads and stuff were running down the trail to find the bear, and you needed an animal that was sure-footed out front and nice and easy so that Lily, who's not an experienced rider, could enjoy the trip. And she said, wow, that was fun, because you get to be out front and you get to see it. It's like being the pilot on a plane, you know, those big jetliners. I assume the pilot has the best view, right? So anyway, mules are just like annuities. There's a reason I have them both, a reason I do what I do. And I wanted to share a little bit of this with you guys, people on the podcast, people that weren't here 2 years ago that could see it. I certainly appreciate the opportunity. Got some good comments on that, but go ahead and look that story up. It's a real quick read and it's fun and I like doing it. So again, I appreciate you guys being here for episode number 44, How Mules Are Like Annuities. You can schedule a call top right corner. So you see it right here on the website, any page, this button right up here on the right, schedule a call. If you want to set a time, the number is 800-438-5121. My name is Brian Anderson. I certainly appreciate the opportunity. I'll be here next week with episode 45. Not sure the topic, but it'll be something good. Okay, thank you so much, everybody, and have a great day. Okay, bye.
You have been listening to Annuity Straight Talk. The preceding information is for informational and educational purposes only. Does not represent tax, legal, or investment advice. The views expressed by guests on this program are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Annuity Straight Talk or its partners. No information presented today should be acted upon without meeting with a qualified and licensed professional. It is important that you read all insurance contract disclosures carefully before making a purchase decision. Guarantees are based on the financial strength and claims paying ability of the insurance company.